We are, of course, in the book of Genesis, right?
Yes.
And we are halfway through the fourth verse. We got to go through some word. But before we get there, I want to remind you of other words that we have learned, all right? And to have a little bit of a memory or just a quick But we're going to go briefly through the first word, first sentence for a moment. All right? Bereshit. What does that mean?
In
the beginning, okay. What does that word, what is the verb for head? The verb, what's the verb mean?
Movement in the house.
That which is moving. Okay, the word rosh is in verb form, means that which moves. Something is moving, and where is it moving? Okay, I want to show you something. This is ancient Hebrew. Remember, the bet is a house, right? You remember that? Okay. That's what the ancient bet looked like. It looked like a house. That's the door. Opens up. And you go inside this house. Now, look at how we do the bet today. Is that right?
Yeah.
So a little bit of bent here?
It can be.
So it tells you what we're looking at. And so it didn't look like a house at one time. That's the ancient, really long baseline. In order to keep it, they kept part of the baseline this side. All they did is replace this and the wall. And they made it shorter. But you see how the word, it came, that's the ancient word. So you know, it has a reason behind being a house, all right? And inside that house, something was moving. What was moving? What was happening inside the house? What's the second? What's huh?
The water. No, not yet.
God, that little Hebrew was
bara,
which is created. Bara. Creating is taking place inside that house. Creating started inside that house by whom? Elohim. Now, what does the word Elohim mean? Minis of something. The old Hebrew, the verb for the word God, El, means what? You forgot. That which is twisted to become strong. Like you take a rope, twist them together, it's strong. You can't pull apart. That's where the basic root word of El means. That which is strong, and it's a twisted thing that is strong. Not twisted, corrupted, but twisted to make it strong. Single string by itself, or single rope, but you twist them together. We know that about cable, right? One little strand of little cable will break like crazy. We start winding all sorts of cable, winding wires together. You got a very powerful, very, very powerful cable.
Huh? Golden Gate Bridge.
Golden Gate Bridge. And the next one is 8. What does that mean? You forgot.
Something very special.
The sign of something coming.
Sign? Something is coming.
Well, on the top.
Right, but, so go ahead.
On the top, it's the beginning and the end.
It's the beginning and the end. The verb form, okay, it comes from a verb form. Okay? That's right. It means self-existing, of itself. Okay? That which exists of itself. So it is all by itself. We went through this in several areas in the prophets, right? And there's certain areas where that word et shows up. And they didn't know what to translate it to, right? So they took the word me, they put the word him, and always referred to the Messiah. Very fascinating. And the last one, not last word, but it says ha shamayim. What's shamayim?
Water.
The heavens.
Heavens. Heavens. What's okay, and the last word is Ha'aretz. What's the difference between Ha'aretz and Hashemayim?
Water and earth.
Moving,
something's
firm.
Right, okay. Heaven just means something that's moving, unstable, meaning not, it's not stable. I mean, it's constantly moving. It's not in one place. And earth means that which is solid, it does not move. It's like a rock. Yes?
Does that have any tie to the prophecy over Reuben? Does Reuben view are as unstable as water?
No. That's a different prophecy altogether. We won't go there today. I've explained Reuben before. It's interesting about not the prophecy of Reuben. That wasn't a prophecy of Reuben. That was a fact of Reuben. Okay? It's not a prophetic thing of him. The sentence before him is a prophetic thing about the Messiah. All right? No, we won't go there today. So, you know, we go through a lot of words here in Hebrew. But now, verse 4. Baha Ra Elohim et Haor Kitov. What does that mean?
God saw the light and it was good.
Light was good.
Because it's good. Remember? Ki, it means because it's good. Not that it was good, but because it was good. All right? Why was light good? Because it's good. The word ki means because. So he sees this light. He called forth for the light. And lo and forth. Actually, he didn't call for the light. He said, what did he say? No, this is what we saw here. Vayar means God what? God saw or God sees. Now, what did he do before he saw or sees? Order.
Call for.
What is that word? Baomer. Baomer. We went through, how many times does Baomer show up? A lot of times, the very first chapter. So sometimes it's what we're saying, what we're looking at here, we're not looking at all a continuous thing or the same thing. We're saying, God, Baomer Elohim, like Baomer Elohim, Baomer Elohim, Baomer. God says a lot of things. And for us just wrap it up and say, well, God said it'd be light and sun and moon and stars, that rattles all off quickly. But what we're seeing here is how, when God said, Ba'amir Elohim, he said, and then something took place. That's a big event. What took place when order showed up?
He separated light from...
No, it didn't separate that. We're not separated yet.
Oh, he thought it was Tov.
No, that's what he saw. When he said, Barmeres, he said, Barmeres, order.
Oh, the light showed up?
What did the light do? Why did he call forth the light? Why did he say, let there be, O light? What happened? All right, okay, Hoshech. Remember? Hoshech. Because of Hoshech, the light came. And then he saw... He saw the light, tov, good. It did its job. It did its job. Did exactly what he called forth for it to do. What he said, let there be light, and it came, and it did its job. He said, boy, that's good. I saw it, and it did exactly what I wanted to do. That's what God says. No, it's always we see something, he's telling us that he saw the event. He just didn't call forth for the light. He called forth the light to do something. And when the light did its function, then he saw, or he sees, the light, Kitov. Because it's good. Holy, just, and perfect. Do you understand what I'm saying so far? So we have a kind of clarification here in Hebrew. So we kind of see the simplicity of the Hebrew. Hebrew is real simple language, by the way. Once you get to know it, it's so simple to figure out.
Once you get to know it.
The simplicity of it is this, all right? We have what we call in English a subject, a verb, and an object. And most of the Hebrew writing verbs or sentences are in that stance. And instead of putting all the prepositions and all of the adverbs and adjectives and explanations to these, I just made it simple. I said, light is, light is. Simple English. That's how simple that little sentence is. But now a second part of it. Where he said, and God saw. Now we went through that last week a little bit. We went through the word key, right? Because. We went through a lot of scripture and what that word is. We went through the word told. It means, what does told mean?
Delightful.
Cheerful.
Wonderful.
Fantastic. We want to use all these adjectives and adverbs to explain the word which God says, told. So it's kind of like, you know, simple words, told, but it's not just the word good. Because it's good. Because it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's wonderful. It does its job. It did what it's supposed to. It's cheerful. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? So look at this thing. We look at the word tov. We look at the word good. We've got to expand it to our English so we can have a better picture when God said it. God saw it. Man, boy. It was. Everything God makes is for what reason?
Good.
For his pleasure. So when you think of King Tov, it pleased him. Because the light did exactly what he called forth for it to do. Got rid of the Hoshech. Eliminated the Hoshech. All right. Of course, this is a reflection upon the Messiah. We know that. He will get rid of the Hoshech. That's in our world, in our life, in our existence, that we have had. Most of us came out of Hoshech. And we have a lot of friends and relatives who are still in Hoshech. And we want them out. But we cannot get them out. Oh, we are a order. We are a light. But it's not the one that God said, let there be light. Because he didn't tell us that we are the light. We are lit by the light. All right? And that light being the Messiah. Now, we're coming down to the very final portion of it. And that's Vayadero. Got an L on it. And that means what? To divide. That's where the word today are. We're on the word divide, right? Now, when you think of divide, what do you think of?
Separation.
And what else?
To split.
All right.
Multiplication.
We'll get into the multiplication of that, because God does very fancy, because he does use divide to do two things. When he separates, something's going to increase. All right. But in the very first part of this, we're talking about now, only the book of Genesis chapter 1, he's not out to separate for one to multiply and the other not to. We will see, as a division takes place, that both parts multiply. Both division in the chapter 1 of Genesis 1, when he makes a division, the divisions both increase. All right? We've got that picture in mind? We'll get into the other division a little bit later, which the Bible talks about. So it means to divide or to separate, to distinguish, to put a difference between this and the difference between that. And so what did he do? He divided what? The light, the order from the Hoshech. Now he made a division. He separated the two. And so what he's doing here now, something's going to increase. And something's going to
decrease,
but also it's still increasing. Because we live in a world of Hoshech. Mm-hmm. And at the latter days, that Hoshech is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Right? But it's going to be eliminated, because what does Book of John say about the light? When the light came,
the darkness did not comprehend it.
And what does that comprehend mean? Could not stop it from coming. Could not prevent it. Now, you take a look at what took place in the history of the Messiah and how often the darkness, the Hoshech, within the community were trying to get rid of the order. And they couldn't. No matter how often they argued with him, no matter how often they tried to challenge him, no matter what took place, they could not stop him. They could not prevent him or hold him back from becoming who he was. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the darkness, Hoshech, could not prevent it. Could not prevent the Messiah from showing up. Put it this way. Could not prevent the order from appearing. And what did the order do? What does light do? Well, it says there, Jesus said what? You put a light in the house. Why? So all can see. Those who don't want to sit in the light will leave the house and they go into Hoshech. They'll leave. And we have this, I will phrase it. We have this doorpost against our doorpost, you know, the mezuzah, these doorposts. So we have a little tiny thing in our, we call that a mezuzah, but it's a doorpost upon a doorpost. That's what the word really means, kind of comical. But inside that, what is it telling us? I told you before, what?
To write the laws on.
Oh, no. What is that? What does it symbolize? What does that symbolize? It's inside of that little thing has to do with something. It's not just, quote, the little laws. It's righteousness and holiness. And it's pointed where?
Inside
your house. It's not pointed away. So when someone comes to your house and you see a mezuzah on your post, inside of that house should be righteousness and holiness.
Light.
Prepari, most dominant thing, should be in that house, should be that. And when they leave, they should feel, oh, I'm going into darkness again. I'm going to Hoshech again. No, not really, but you understand what I'm saying. They begin to see the light because of you and because of what you do and how you live and how you walk and how you think. We talked about that before. Now, there is a division in that, isn't there? Isn't there a division in an house? When your house is in righteousness and holiness, it is now separated. It is now distinguished. It is now different than anybody else's house. And spiritually speaking, you are the house where the Spirit of living God dwells and lives within. So inside of you, there is nothing but righteousness and holiness. Otherwise, he wouldn't be there, right? God does not enter into or be part of, be joined with someone who is not in the light. He has to call forth the light in new life before he can enter. And once it's there, isn't that wonderful thing about division? Now you are separate. And now something will take place. Okay. Genesis chapter. We're going to go through a few places here in Genesis chapter 1 about the word division. We won't talk about those particular chapters, areas yet, but because I'm not there yet. Genesis chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, where we have this word divide. And God said, Vayomer Elohim, Vayomer Elohim, right? Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, divided the water, and which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Now, see, this is not what God said, I saw, right? He said, what? It said, Va'omer Elohim. So here's one of those things that God now says something. Something when he said takes place. Was it Ketov? Well, we'll get to the end of the chapter. Actually, it says everything that he has created and made was ketov. All right? God didn't make a mistake. God did not create these waters to do anything except bring forth holiness, purity, cleanliness. What does water represent?
Cleansing.
Sorry, cleansing and washing.
Life.
Life, okay. And he said that my spirit is like what? Rain that comes from above. So the billboard or water is more directly associated with. And when God is dealing with you, and in this case here, he's cleaning up the earth right now, because we went through verse 2, and he's purifying the earth. Now it's been purified with the water. Now he's starting to separate the two waters. One is going to separate it into the heavens, or the firmament that we have around about us, and the other remains upon the earth. That means that God is involved with both places. He's not preferring one over the other. Now, we find it will go on, and we won't go there today, but you'll find out there's something that happens to the water that's beneath. It starts multiplying. Life begins within it. And there's something else that happens to the firmament that's in the hub. Life begins. That happened on the fifth day. So he divided it. He divided it for ketov because he had what he's going to do with it. He's going to create life in the sea, he's going to create life in the heavens. That we get to see birds and insects, creepy crawly things. But remember, even creepy crawly things were ketov.
Mosquitoes.
We have to remember that is ketov, all right? Now, we won't go into prophecy, the reason why the animals during the time of the millennium, the animals that are carnivores will be eating straw. We won't go there yet because that's another spiritual concept altogether. But see, we're going to come back in the restoration of all things. Things are going to be restored. And we're seeing here where God is beginning to restore the earth as it once was in verse 1. Because he didn't create it until tohu vavohu. That's what it says there in Isaiah, right? So we have to accept that part. So now he's in the process of doing something. Darkness, Hoshech, fell upon the face of the earth. Yes.
Where in Isaiah?
Oh, I had to look that one up. Verse 2. What did it say? Between me and one, okay, that won't work. Five, seven, eight, nine, one, three,
45.
45, 18?
Yeah.
Okay. So I got my so many notes back here. I have to go through an awful lot to get back to where I once was here.
Yeah.
45:18. Okay. Kind of a key word or key sentence to go back between verse 2 of Genesis 1, verse 2, and in Isaiah 45. So you give an idea of what... Does that answer your question? I'm glad someone else looked it up.
Also 45 verse 7 touched on that too.
Right. The whole subject matter, that has to do with the... Let's see now, where was I here? Yavdal. Yavdal. New word. Yavdal. What does Yavdal mean? Divide. Separate. Make a distinction between... All right, so now we know he's made a distinction between two different kind of waters. We didn't go into the night and day yet, but we're going into on right now this particular word to divide. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 16 and 18, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from darkness, or the order from Hoshech. The greater light was to do what? For day and for night and the moon. The moon also, by the way, is something to divide, separate.
Would you write Yovel in Hebrew up there so we can, so I can find it?
That's right, yeah. Lamed. We're not too good at doing that. This is a yod.
Oh, it starts with
yod, that.
It has a vav in front of it, and.
Well, that word's and in that particular area, okay. But we're talking about just talking about dividing now.
Okay, can you put the Hebrew word up there too?
That is the Hebrew word.
Same thing.
Transliteration.
Dale.
Put a vav. You left out the bet. The vet.
Yeah, oh, stop. I'm sorry.
Well, there's a vowel, but you left.
I'm sorry. It should be a vav. That's right. In this case, it's that's right. You correct. I left out the vav. It's a vav sound, not a bet sound. Does that make sense? Nope. That's Hebrew. All right?
Yeah, you're up there.
Oh, no. This is modern Hebrew here.
Oh, okay.
It's a yod, a bet, a dalet, and a lamed.
Are we going left to right or right to left?
Right to left.
Why is it always that way?
So say that again, then that's the vav.
It's a yod, which is yah, and the vav. It's a bet, in this case, is the vav sound. So it's yav, day. I put the Y there so you remember to pronounce the word day. Oh, Dale. All right. Well, we're talking about the word divide, right? We got that idea. We're looking at. So, Leviticus 20, verse 24. This is the other part of the Yav Dale. Yavdale. Leviticus 20, verse 24. And 25. 26. 24, 25, 26. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you as possession, a land that floweth with milk and honey, and I am the Lord, or Yahweh Elohim, you, which have divided you, separated you, distinguished you from other people. This is where the division takes place. Now, he's not saying the other part he's not going to deal with. We know by prophecy he will deal with those he has not yet separated. So we're called people now, we're called separated. This is where you get the word sanctified from. Those are the ones that are called out. We have not done to called out, but you understand he called out the house of Israel from all of Egypt. So now he has separated, he's dividing them. Now we have to ask, okay, now that you're dividing them, what is it that you are going to do with this division that you have just created? Or you have just divided, you have separated one from the other. When the two waters were separated, they were separated for holiness and for goodness and for justice and purity, right? In chapter 1, in verse 4. Nothing God created ever was created in unholiness. Never was created in unrighteousness. Keep that part in our mind as we go through there. Verse 25. Ye shall therefore put a difference, a separation, a distinguish between the clean beast and the unclean, between the unclean fowl and the clean. And you shall not make your souls abominable by beast, or by fowl, or by manner of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated, divided, distinguished from you as unclean. So now we'll talk about the foods. He's made a distinction. He's made a separation. Right? He has divided this kind of animal compared to that kind of animal. Now, why did he do that for?
For distinction.
For what?
Distinction.
For holiness and righteousness.
Be you holy because I am holy. That's the whole book of Leviticus 23, 23, right? About the clean and unclean. This one here is clean and unclean as well. I have done this as separation so you could tell the difference between what is clean and what is unclean. So now these people have been separated. He has distinguished them from the rest of the world. And in this world, he says, I want you to be distinguished. Now, this is how I want you, Jesus Christ, the Lord, great Elohim, wants you to become and learn how to distinguish, how to separate, how to divide, how not to be part of this or have this instead of that. These things that God is calling clean and unclean, we have not gone to that word yet because I'm not there. But you understand that this clean and unclean is something that God has said. It is God who divided, not man, not people. Now, he says to the house of Israel, I have separated you from the rest of the world. Now, in the separation, this is what I want you how to live. I want you to make a separation, a division between that which is clean to eat and that which is unclean to eat. Now, he had to explain exactly in detail what is clean, didn't he? And what is unclean. It wasn't up to man to come up and figure out, well, I don't think I'll eat that because it's unclean. To read, I don't eat that because it's unclean. Because why? The eternal creator of heaven says that one is unclean and that one there is clean. Therefore, if we are to be separated from the rest of the mankind as Israel should have remained separated, they didn't. They joined themselves with the world. Lo and behold, they began to do the very same things that the world does. They didn't want to be different. We don't want to be different, do we? We want to be like everybody else. We want everybody to like me. Yes.
Well, I was listening to that diaphragm, and he was talking about that, the knowledge of good and evil. What that means is having the knowledge of, you know, instead of trusting God and what he says is clean and unclean, since the fall of man, we have the knowledge, and they changed, or they moved God out of the way and tried to determine, you know, what was clean and unclean.
What they were actually, technically speaking, what they had, man tried to figure out how he can do both.
Right.
Of his way as well as God.
And of course, they figure out new both. Of course, God says, oh, I will forgive you for not separating. Because I separated you, but you want to be joined with them. That's okay, be joined with them. You're still my people. No, you leave God, you leave him. Yes.
So like you're saying, man, it's like how they could, man's trying to figure out how to do both.
Yes.
So are you talking about ecumenism? Is that similar to...
Like, you're right. We have to be separate. Darkness cannot have association with light. Choshech cannot be combined with order. It's impossible. And we're doing here, he's showing us, he's teaching mankind, teaching all of us. Yes, Jeff?
Well, you know, to what he was saying about, you know, ecumenism, is that one of the ideas is that You bring things together, you do things kind of in common so you can have a common basis for relating to each other. Well, one of the things that you get in the beginning of Deuteronomy, and you see this repeated again and again and again, is, you know, do not follow the practices of the nations around you because you may think they look cool or do this or that or the other, because one of the things that you drag into that is sometimes unknowingly you drag in the practices and actually the worship of other gods with there. I mean, you see that in the history
of Israel. They ended up dragging in, you know, there was the worship of the goddess Asherah. You hear that often throughout Israel's history. Well, they dragged it in, and to the point where you even find artifacts in ancient Israel of they have the Lord and his wife Asherah. You know, it's like, whoa, where did that come from? It was because they tried to do both.
So you try to be with God and be with the people.
You can't mix holy with unholy.
Life or death.
You can't mix evil and good together. Haven't gone to the tree of knowledge of good and evil? It's a study all by itself. We have to get there when we get there. Okay, that's quite a ways down the future. But it's very fascinating about learning, understanding that phrase, what it means, how does it affect you, how does it affect me in today, and how does it affect mankind, and what Jesus had to say about, okay, you must make the tree what? You can't make the tree unholy and holy. You either make the tree holy or it's gone. All right, and only God plants that holy tree. Yes.
So that's why he said to come out of that which is unclean, so that he can receive you.
Correct. Because in he has the word is in there in Leviticus latter part. He has elevated up the clean, as he has elevated Israel up as clean. And we join ourselves with Israel, we will be elevated up with the clean. Okay? That's very, very important. And the reason why Peter rejected the unclean is because it would have brought him down. That's something else. Yes?
Yeah, and one of the things that you get in that distinction between the clean and the unclean is that just like we saw in this passage here, is God he raised up Israel from the other nations, not because of how great they were. In fact, he mentions quite often that they were the least of nations. They weren't any better than any of the other nations. And just like the other foods, you know, he raised them up on the basis that he was making a distinction. It's a God-given distinction between other people. And that was kind of like what Peter finally realized, is that who God is raising up, because through his Spirit was coming upon these other people of the nations, God was raising them up just like he raised Israel up. So God was making the distinction. You know, one of the things that Israel got into a problem with at the time of Yeshua was that you were making an artificial distinction between people. You know, we're inside, they're outside. You know, but God, when you see the move of God inside of people to raise them up, you've got to acknowledge that. And that was one of the problems of some of the early believers, is that they weren't getting it and weren't seeing the move of God. And God had to show them, look, I am doing a work here.
He had to do it with the unclean to Peter for him to get the picture. Because Peter himself should recognize what the story is all about. Oh, don't call people. When God has cleansed them and raised them up, they're just as holy as Peter is holy and just and good. Because it is God who plants the tree. We haven't gone into that section of the plant of the tree yet. But let's continue on here. Verse 26, and ye shall be holy unto me, for I am the Lord, am for Yahweh, am holy, and have separated, distinguished you, divided you from other people, that you should be mine. So the whole picture of clean and unclean is a picture of what God's showing to people of Israel and all mankind. I have separated, I made a separation between that which is, I made the decision. Apostle Paul said, remember he said, he's persuaded that there's nothing that's clean or unclean by itself. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that's clean or unclean. Only God can say, I have separated this for holy reasons, for righteous reasons, for sanctified reasons, and all the nation of Israel was set aside for that purpose, to be separated from the rest of the world. And we have the Spirit of the living God within us. We are separated from the rest of the world. We should not partake of that which is unclean. Why? He says, for you are to make a distinction. We are to make a distinction between what is clean and what is unclean. And the only distinction we have to know what is clean is unclean is hearing it come from the mouth of the Creator himself and nobody else. You cannot interpret what is clean and what is unclean. You can only believe what is clean by the Word of God, and you can only believe which is unclean by the Word of God. There is no other definition you can have. We're looking at this thing. We're looking at the words. We're studying the words. What does He say? What is He doing? What is He getting across? When God speaks, do you believe Him? Does God, when God speaks, do you respond to His words? Do you, when He speaks, do you live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? And that's the bottom line, isn't it? We cannot rely upon what someone interprets what is clean and what is unclean. We cannot rely on that. There's only one way we can rely on anything that's clean, and that is by the Word of God. He said, I have separated the clean from the unclean, and you are to do the very same thing. In the same manner as I have separated you from the world, I want you to learn and be in the practice of and be partaking of that which is holy and just and good. And I want you to begin to separate and make a distinction between that which is clean and that which is unclean. Does that make sense? So division here is taking place. But a division is taking place, something is increasing over here. What's increasing in the house of Israel?
Holiness.
Oh, that's right. Holiness and righteousness and justice and good. The judgments and the commandments are being multiplied by the thousands to this house. And the only way we, as individuals, can come to understand what that multiplication is, not by people. The Word of God is increasing more and more and more when we go through, especially the book of Torah, five books of Torah. You see the Word of God increasing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, dominating the entire Torah. And what did Jesus say inside of that Torah? It speaks about me. And that's a kind of a word we have yet to look at. Okay, now Numbers, 16th chapter. You remember, this is about Korah. Remember who Korah was?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, I remember who Korah was, right? That was a very funny. 16th chapter, verse 8 and 9. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, a small thing unto you that God of Israel, Elohim of Israel, has separated, divided, distinguished you from amongst the congregation of the rest of Israel. Why do you think it's such a small thing? Don't you understand that you are being separated? All of Israel being separated now. And now all the tribe of Israel, the house of Levi has been separated to do a greater task, to something even more distinguished, separated from the rest of the house of Israel. And within the house of Levi, there was another division, another separation taking place. All right? Not because God said, oh, you're better than anybody else. Because He didn't. God said, therefore, I have separated you. I want you to do this. And Korah thought, well, what God wants me to do is really not that important. I want to do what Aaron does. I want to be where Aaron's at. I want to be in charge. I want to do like Aaron does. I want to be the high priest. That's what Korah's sin was. He was transgressing against the high priest. Who's your high priest? The Messiah is your high priest. Don't think you can overrule Him, because the eternal creator of heaven is going to say, you think it's a small thing I have given you to be part of the holiness? Partake of the holy things that I even said to be more distinguished than the ones that were before? And you think that's a really small, unimportant task? Yeah, well, you know what happened? Separated you from the congregation of Israel or Israel to bring you near to Himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Elohim or Yahweh and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. An important job. Korah was to do what for the tabernacle? Serve it, take care of it. His job was to, I think it was to build it. One of the jobs he was supposed to do, either carrying of the ark or carrying of the things. And lo and behold, he thought, oh, that's not important. I want to be in charge. I want to be the boss. Well, sorry, cost you your life. didn't cost the life of his sons. Yes.
Isn't that the same thing happening with Lucifer?
Oh, yes.
That's he another, had a job.
Yeah. He had a job. It wasn't enough. He wanted higher. So we have a parallel there. That's true. That's a real, real good analogy there. All right. Now, what's the next word here? We got the word division down pretty good. There's positive, negative, but everything that God has already divided is going to be very positive, which I'm heading for this particular point in time. Of course, the word bend means, bane means to, also means to separate between one thing or to another thing. So we have this distinction of separation, and now there's going to be another distinction of what is being distinguished between the two. But so we're going to go through that word, bane. It's in that next Hebrew word, right? It's translated as, I think some of your translations is from. What's it translated as? I don't know. Remember how it says. So look it up. Yeah. So there is now a division. Now it's between something. Division here. Now between here and here. And we talk about two waters in this case, chapter 1. The two, between the two waters, are going to be distinguished between these two waters. One's going to do one function. Right? And the other's going to do the other function. Which one of the waters? Which one of the waters? Water on the earth? Or the water that's in the air? Which water, which one of them is more important?
Neither.
But what's separated here, that water that's in the air cannot be doing what the water that's on the earth does. And the water on the earth cannot do what the waters in the heavens do, or your atmosphere we have. They're two different jobs doing two different functions. One of them we get to breathe in and breathe out of, right? Yeah. You can, you go down the water, you can go down to the water in the earth, you try to breathe, what happens? You're dead. So, you know, but the same thing, the water on the earth, guess what? You get to drink it, it tastes good, you're thirsty. The air, it can't do that job, it can't do that function. Yes?
What's fascinating is infants breathe fluid in the womb.
Oh, yes. They live completely in water. But then he separated them. Made it distinguish between that which is in the waters and that which is out of the water, right?
Divided
them. And thank God he does divide it, because he doesn't. So this means basically between or among or amidst. Chapter Genesis 3, chapter 14. I'm not going to get into the night and day. You have to wait until next 2 weeks from now. And the Lord God, or Yahweh Elohim, said unto the serpent, chapter 3, verse 14.
Chapter 3 of what?
Genesis. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this. Oh, what did he do? But he told a lie. Thou art cursed above all the cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall you go, and a dust shall you eat, and all the days of your life. We won't go into what kind of dust he's eating today, because that's another story all by itself. But verse 15, and I will put an enmity, here's this between, bane, separated now. A division is taking place. And that division didn't exist until the Eternal came through and said, because you did this, now I'm going to bring between you and the woman a war. I'm going to declare war as between the woman and you. And guess who's going to win that war? The woman's going to win that war. Yes?
Is that the prophecy in Revelations? The dragon and the woman?
Right. Same story. But she wins. Because what is Eve called?
Mother of all living.
Mother of all living, not the mother of all dying. It's very important to know why Adam said that, because Adam was a whole lot smarter than we are. He understood, because he was taught by the Creator directly, knowing exactly what was going to go on.
So the woman isn't Mary? The woman isn't Mary, it's Eve.
It's Eve. This definite distinction between Eve is going to be victorious. This may be my quote, my interpretation, and people don't disagree with it, because they think maybe Adam and Eve should be going to hell or getting hellfire or whatever you want to think it is. But the truth is, he's going to make a war. And the devil's going to lose. Doesn't say the woman's going to lose. What was her curse? We won't go there today. But sure isn't that one. I'm going to make a difference between you and between your seed and her seed. Oh, now it's even increased. Not only will she have a war with you, her seed is going to have a war with you. And guess what her seed's going to do? It's going to smash your head. Go smash your rosh. Going to smash your beginning. Going to smash your movement. That you never move again. Never. Ever. All right. Genesis chapter 9. This has to do with the covenant of Noah. I'm trying to wrap this up. This is my last page here. Genesis 9, verse 11. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there be any more flood to destroy the earth. Vomer Elohim. This is the token of the covenant which is made between me and you. Now, we know we call the rainbow, we call it, right? And when we see it, it's telling us there is a distinction between something. Me and you and all living things. God didn't put the rainbow in here for him to remember. I went through the Hebrew word remember, right? What was the word remember in Hebrew mean? I said, I will do. Simplicity of that Hebrew word, which has been translated into remember. God doesn't have to remember anything. And he says, I said it, I'm going to bring it about. So this is a promise here from God, a covenant. God made the covenant, by the way. Did you notice that Noah didn't? Mm-hmm. Did you notice that the animals didn't? And he said on the earth, it will never be done on the earth again. So he made a covenant of the earth too. I could cover the earth with water again. Okay. Verse 13. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it will be there for a token for a covenant between me and the earth. So it's not just between man and the living animals. It also includes, and it's like there's a third party here, Haaretz, the earth. And it shall come to pass that when I bring a cloud over the earth, and the bow shall be seen in a cloud, I will remember. Doesn't mean remember. It means I will. What I said, it will come about. My covenant, which is between me, that's that word, bang, me and you, and every living thing of all flesh of the water shall no more be flooded and destroy all flesh. The bow shall be a cloud, shall be in the cloud, and I shall look upon it, and I will. Remember what it says, I've said and will do the everlasting covenant. What I said, I will do the everlasting covenant. That covenant was never again will I flood this world with water. Now, water is a form of purification. Right? All of you, when you were baptized, you went into water. To be purified. Symbolism of purification. But when you come back up, What did Jesus say? If you're not baptized, submerged within the Spirit of the living God, there is no life in you. There is no life in you. So when you come up, people may have laid hands on you, ministers may lay hands on you, and I hope that's true. Now the hands that came upon you were symbolism of the hand of the living God coming down, not the symbolism of the guy doing the preaching. That's that issue. Symbolism of God baptizing you, sinking you into, putting you down under into the Spirit of the living God. All right, let's continue on. Got one more point here. Verse 17, and God said to Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I will establish between me and all flesh which is upon the earth. How many times he has that word between? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in that short period of sentence. It's a 5 times. He really wants to make an emphasis upon this everlasting covenant that he made. I think it's kind of fascinating. Do you believe the Word of God?
Yes.
Do you believe evolution?
Yes.
All right. So I hope this was beneficial to you, and I will try to get. I have not yet gone through the night. Your word why it's called night. I have not gone through the word why it calls day. You're gonna have to wait for 2 weeks. Because see, that's very important. 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
Two.
You're gone next week.
Shavuot's
the 2 weeks from now.
Oh, man, that's right. Well, come for Shavuot.